Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, my name is Abe Thompson. Welcome to New Cyber Frontier. Our podcast today is a special opportunity as we sit with a local business leader. I'm sitting in for Chris Gorog, your regular host. I'm podcasting from the Colorado Springs campus of SecureSet Academy, where we do cybersecurity boot camp training in both the core technical and in the hunt skills arenas. So today we have with us Mr. Gene Sanchez, who is the president and owner of Zecnes. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. It's a wonderful day here in our beautiful hometown of Colorado Springs. Can you tell us a little bit about Zecnes and what keeps you busy over there?
Well, actually, we are a voice, video, and data systems integration company. What we do a little bit different than most is we're not just IT people, we're just not phone people, we're just not video surveillance or things of that nature, or even doing systems administration or mid-range. What we do is bring it all together and we make it talk.
Excellent. Integration is key, and that kind of speaks to, I think, what a lot of us value inside of the cybersecurity industry. So definitely a lot of cross-pollination. What are some big projects you've worked on recently, things you've got going on?
Oh, we've worked on several. Actually, we've got, we work from a lot of jobs at Fort Carson. We've done a lot of cable infrastructures there for one side. We've gone from there to working a lot within the arena of mid-range platforms. We do a lot of work here locally in town with companies that require just to put new mid-range servers in place. A lot of camera, video surveillance is really a big thing. That came into us by almost like by default. We weren't even expecting it.
Oh, interesting.
Only because, because we talk about video within what we do as a living as Zecnes, but I didn't expect it to blossom and bloom the way it did, because a lot of the video surveillance side requires networking.
Oh, positively.
And actually, there's even more to that that we're starting to find out, but we're just barely just getting the handle on the video surveillance side is what we're doing. So yeah.
Now, with that concept of, you know, not just being a this, that, or the other, and your commitment to integration, what types of folks are you looking for when you're putting together sort of a team for a particular job? Who are you hiring out there?
We like to have people that have firsthand core disciplines and accountability.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically a Marine.
all the way.
We'll get to that later for our listeners.
But you know, bottom line is that what we're after is people that, as we begin to build this new synergy, because that's really what's happening to us in technology, and I'm actually really excited about it, because if you think back, and I'm gonna date myself now, but that's okay. You know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, where we started just with a DOS computer, and look where we're at today. You know, and with that, though, is the core accountability of how and core disciplines, you know, trying to understand exactly, which, let me rephrase this again, my excitement for it is that the systems, the mentality is now starting to catch up with now where we're headed in the future. And going back to it, we can't no longer be IT people, we can't no longer just be phone people, we can no longer just be whatever that piece of technology is. We have to start to learn how to integrate and understand all the core parts and pieces.
Sure.
And for me personally, it all started with a piece of wire. It all started with a piece of wire, and that happened back in the 90s. Believe it or not, and I'm gonna go back to the type of individual that we're talking to here in a moment.
Sure.
And what I'm hoping to see with not only a vision that maybe myself or many others could have had in technology or in the industry, but what has to be set in place today. But what that piece of wire I worked at MCI for over 15 years after I got out of the Marine Corps, actually.
Yeah.
And I started out in the central office piece. I took the first job I could take anyway, but you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And but because of visionaries such as McGowan and many others within the company, they allowed us to create. And before you know it, I ended up building the MCI facilities down the street from us. I don't know, off of Garden of the Gods and 30th.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And prior to that, we had ACD, phones, ThinNet, Ethernet, Token Ring. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these different parts and pieces, but we had to provide that connectivity piece to the end user at that cube or that office space.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah.
Well, and I love hearing what you said about the leadership that you were under allowing you to create. And is that something that you foster at ZECNES with your folks?
You better believe it. It's got to be fostered, because you can't just, you got to have some kind of form of creativity.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that in and of itself develops more creativity and more diversity. And so you're not just at ZECNES. I mean, you're obviously a local community leader. Tell me a little bit about your relationship to Life Skills.
Oh, Life Skills. I am one of the founding members, along with Chief Lou Velez and Judge Gilbert Martinez, Steve Shuck, and there was others, but now those are the folks that are pretty much left on this board. But the core ingredient to that was, at one time, it was a vision of, or understanding that, hey, you know, Latinos in the community, young Hispanics, they're dropping out at a massive high rate. So we were all concerned about that. So that's kind of where it started to head in that direction, but little did we know that it affected more than just Latinos.
Sure. And Life Skills is what type
and
of
Life
organization?
Skills is Life Skills, the high school itself,
okay,
is a school for dropouts and high-risk kids.
Wow.
And I really took a lot of interest because I was one of those kids.
Wow.
And now, before you know it, here we are today. A big shoes to fill, but I've taken over the chair from Lou Velez, who's still on the board, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And but a great group of people. But you know what? What an exciting time, even for the school. We're already 12 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
And I mean, it's just exciting. We got another graduation coming up. And then, of course, as you know, I mean, you were there. You were one of our speakers.
I love the environment.
I just know what the kids felt when you spoke. Mm. And it's all leading by example. And that's the other part and piece to it. Whether we look at people that we would want to hire like that in ZECNES, but it could be people like yourself that are actually out in this community sharing your experiences, sure, and showing these kids that this is what it's about, because they can do it just the same, just like you can.
Well, and you've seen your share of life transformation, and it looks like you're duplicating that and reproducing that in people, and that's a tremendous gift. Especially, you know, in an industry and in a economy that is so driven by technology, here you are as a key player right in the middle of that. But you also had another life-transforming experience after that. You joined a certain organization, four-letter organization, USMC.
Yeah,
talk a little
USMC.
Bit about that.
My cousin put it one day. She asked me, "Gene, is it true that the Marine Corps is the most organized gang in the world?" And I says, yes, it is.
Yes, indeed.
But it's one that protects this country, just like the rest of our veterans, those that are active and retired or done their time, you know. I couldn't have asked for a better outfit to join. I had no clue that I would end up in that capacity. My father was a Marine. My son was a Marine as well. And so there's three generations in our family that have been Marines.
Sure.
And I tell you what, without it, I think looking back on it now, you know, it's one of the best things I ever did.
Sure enough.
And with all that came the experience, the leadership. You can't get any better leadership training than there.
Sure
you know.
Enough.
Of course, there's others. I mean, like yourself, a fellow Navy veteran. I mean, you know, it can't find better people than people in the military.
It's proud heritage. Let's take a break for our sponsor.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Gene Sanchez, the president and owner of Zecnas Incorporated, we were talking about the value that you gained from being part of Uncle Sam's Misguided Children, I mean the United States Marine Corps. One of the terms that you used earlier that so resonated, certainly with my heart and I think in our in the technology industry, me being a cybersecurity guy and I think all of us, is this concept of accountability. And I'm sure that you took from your experiences as a Marine and even in your day-to-day. Tell me what is your sort of passion for accountability with regard to technology and the industry that we're in?
Well, you know, when it comes to accountability, it encompasses a wide range of just, let me rephrase this for a moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard this before, but have you ever heard of geeks with a personality?
I've met some, but I don't know that I've heard the phrase.
Well, part of it is accountability is being able to firsthand be able to interact and present yourself. We're going to go back to the to USMC, right? Those four letter words, but it's how you present yourself to another individual, because we're so hidden behind technology.
Yeah.
And we've lost a lot of that interpersonal communication one with the other.
Sure.
And you have to be able to communicate, and that starts with that's your first core sense of accountability, to be able to communicate clearly and in a friendly fashion with your colleague, and more specifically with your customer.
Sure.
Because when you talk about accountability, a lot of that comes with customer service.
Yeah.
We've lost our core sense of customer service. That's accountability.
Yeah.
We've lost our core sense of being able to truly keep within technology a map.
Okay.
Of knowing exactly where we started and where we've ended up, to be able to present that even to a client. Or to, it could be to one of your superiors, your boss or whatever, they're asking you for certain information. What is it that you've been tasked to do and how you're gonna go from point A to Z? And did you miss any certain points along the way on that path or that map?
Sure.
And that's your first definition of accountability.
Sure.
You know, start point, end point, what do you do in between?
Are there digital tools or sort of solutions that have enabled a more effective way of keeping that map and keeping that data in order, in your experience?
Discipline.
Yeah.
Core sense of discipline. You know, and mapping means taking notes. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just, it doesn't matter if you put it on your laptop or your smartphone or on a piece of paper. It's making sure you take notes and know exactly what you did and how you did it, so that way you know exactly how to go back and not only solve a problem if it happens again in that same particular arena, but maybe for another client or another problem you may face down the road,
sure,
that you have some core sense of record.
So as we look at sort of the technology age, I think of especially these handheld devices that are in the hands of everyone. What would you say the state of our soul is right now with regard to technology in this country?
I went to a movie one time with my girlfriend, and we're sitting there talking. And I'm pretty sure you've noticed this just the same. How many people do you actually see talking? They're all embedded into that little phone that they got. Nothing wrong with it, because I'm a technologist. Mm-hmm. And everything that I see in technology, people will say, well, I like this versus I like that. Somebody invented that. So as an inventor myself, I'm okay with whatever's out there. But sometimes, you know, when you let that control you, then, you know, you got to, how would I phrase this, is that we can't let it take us over.
Sure. How would you help someone strike a balance? What principles help us strike a balance in that regard?
Oh man, that starts at home. That starts at home, you know. And we're going to go back to life skills for an example, you know, where some of these kids have don't have a home, or for that matter, if you look across the board, when you go, my daughter is an assistant principal, and some of the things that we've shared, and of course, Amy, your sister, I mean, sure, she can tell you just the same, you know, where they're homeless, but then you've got kids that are at home and they give them everything, and then what do you got? You've got that phone that sits right in front of them. So, you know, that's where it's got to start.
Sure.
But on the same token, you know, how do you apply it for those of us that are adults? Well, you know, those are core disciplines as well. So,
sure.
You know, it's maybe through your school.
Yeah.
You know, how you share that, you know, and how you can help some of those bring balance to it, too.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because one of our key curriculum here is called security culture. And what that's about is, you know, soft skills and some other things. But it's also about being a leader in your organization to establish a culture of security. Part of security is accountability. Mm-hmm. Part of security is protection of data and whatnot. And so we try to train folks toward the ability to lead in that realm by example, really.
Example, yeah.
If you've got these industry leaders, you've got small business owners out here, and in a moment we'll talk about your view on how to establish a good accountability culture in a technological organization. But right now, let's go to our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Mr. Gene Sanchez, who's the president of ZECMES, and we were just getting to an opportunity for you to convey to a business leader how they might, especially in a technologic or a technology-centric organization, how they might implement and sort of, not enforce, but build a culture of accountability in a technical organization.
Well, you used the term just a moment ago, and I think that's important across the board in whatever we as, from a humanistic perspective, should be doing anyhow, and that's setting the example.
Okay.
You know, setting the example piece means, you know, how, you know, my grandpa used to say this to us all the time, especially when we'd leave the rancho back in the valley. He siempre me decía, pórtate bien. And he was saying, you know, you basically better set the right example for the last name you carry.
Mm.
And so with that, I say, you know, within our cultures, and it doesn't have to be just in our industry, it's any industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's us as individuals, it's how we, how well we present ourselves to others. And that's the example that we set. And that's that professional aspect of it. Going back to the accountability, you know, how we treat not only each other, but how we specifically treat our clients. And then more specifically, using our knowledge to be able to deliver. Because part of that is delivering.
Yeah.
You have to know how to deliver your product. And either you know what you're doing or you don't. And the easy part to this is if you don't, it's okay to tell them you don't know. Mm. But you can bring people on your team to be able to deliver.
Sure.
And
sure.
You can't be afraid to say, you know, I know a business colleague that's my competitor. If you think about it, we're afraid to cross that line.
Of course.
And say, well, wait a minute. You know, if I go to him, he's going to take my customer. If I go to her, well, then, you know, she's going to take my business. Whatever the case is, you can't be afraid to share your knowledge. And you can't be afraid to cross that boundary line and build alliances to be able to get a job done.
When you paint a beautiful picture of community, and one of the things I know many of us here in Colorado Springs are committed to is genuine community, not a fear of competition, or and what you've conveyed is humility. and the readiness to be able to look across the table at someone in the same industry and say, you know, they may serve you better in this particular area. And you know, there's of course the altruistic sense, but it's integrity and it's accountable. And I love hearing that. And speaking of community, you know, I'm a big I'm very much committed to this idea of a cybersecurity community here in Colorado Springs. We at SecureSet host the cybersecurity Colorado Springs cybersecurity meetup group. But the idea of community is very precious to you. Of course, you came from esprit de corps, mm-hmm. you know, with you know, Semper Fidelis in the Marine Corps. And you also just recently, when you were sharing a story about, I believe, your grandfather, you shared about, you know, you used your native tongue there and spoke some Spanish to me. Tell me about your commitment to the Hispanic community here in the region and some of the places you're involved to help move your community forward as part of the larger Colorado Springs community here.
Sure. Well, I'll use the term apoyar. Yeah. Apoyar a la gente means that we need to be here to be able to support and elevate those within our community. And I'm going to be very frank. I'm going to be honest with you.
Let her rip.
You know, I remember a time I went when we first started ZECNUS about 16 years ago and went in front of the city. And I was then part of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce at the point. Okay. So we were trying to find ways to be able to gain some ground to be able to help elevate and build business for minorities. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it doesn't matter what color you are, other than the fact that you could be female, you could be a white female, or you could be Latino, you could be black or Asian or whatever. But I asked for some opportunities of how we can do business, and they asked me, well, are you in the janitorial business? Or are you in the food and beverage business? And not to take anything from that whole aspect sure. and realm of it, but I says, no, but we know some people, but what are you doing in other core disciplines? In technology, because of course, as you know, that's why we're here today, talking a little bit about technology. But I don't think people realize that Latinos play a huge role in technology. And for that matter, I guess I could take it and elevate it a few other steps and talk about women and talk about African Americans or whomever that are in the same core discipline that we are. Mm-hmm. But in answer to your question for Latinos, well, wait a minute, we've got lots of people that are involved. Lots of people that have this core sense of intelligence and creativity, and go on, I can go on down the line with the whole piece of it.
Certainly.
You know, but apoyar a la gente to help elevate and bring these people up into those core senses of technology and allowing them to work in this realm. And so, yeah, so that's a huge piece of it. I mean, we got to continue to find ways to open the doors for everyone.
Sure. Well, and defeating stereotypes. I mean, I can only imagine. I've, you know, experienced a bit of that myself growing up, but not as much as you know, my father and grandfather and the black community. But the crush in that can be on one's soul that tends to inhibit this potential for stratospheric growth. And it's been great for me to watch in my classroom a great diversity. You know, men, women, various ethnic groups represented. And succeeding, mm-hmm. and not inhibited by preconceived notions, you know, and stereotypes like mm-hmm. you talked about. I mean, and the industry that we're in is rife with leaders from multiple backgrounds. And here I sit as a, you know, as a director in a cybersecurity organization, as a you know, black American, and you know, you leading your organization. There's the, you know, the sky's the limit, and I like to see those stereotypes broken. And I appreciate community leaders that do that. So what successes have you seen more specifically in elevating the Hispanic community here in Colorado Springs? Where have you seen great successes?
Well, those successes, man, are all across the board, which kind of firsthand, let me tell you, what I see, oh man, I'm going to start with kids.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the kids first, and then I'll just kind of move my way up to that whole process there. But when I see kids now that even though the kids that have hard times in life skills, for example,
sure.
But when I see them, when they have that second chance, you were there when you spoke. Those kids that were sitting on that stage, that's where the first success starts.
Yeah.
Because they know that in order to make a difference, they got to at least start with getting their high school diploma.
Right.
And they're there because they want to succeed. They could have just took the other road. They could have dropped out and they could have went somewhere else.
Yep.
They could have taken, well, some of them have.
Yeah.
You know, we already know that. Either they're dead or they're in prison. But I would say if you look statistically, and I don't know what that number could be, but I know it's got to be a huge number, to watch these kids say, wait a minute, I've been through what I've been through, but I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to keep moving. That is the first success.
Sure. Well, and for each life that you've been involved in seeing a transformation, the statistic is 100%.
100%. Right? You know? And to watch these folks on the staff make that happen, we're just the guys in the background, just
sure.
trying to make sure we've, like we were talking about earlier, trying to open a road, cut a path, even if we have to cut a new one, mm-hmm. so that they can get through as easily as they can.
Sure.
You know, because of what they've been up against. That is the first, from my perspective, that is the true success across the board. Doesn't matter what ethnic background you are.
Sure.
Business-wise, whether it's a business like mine or many others, the sky's the limit.
Sure.
But I firmly believe the biggest success is our youth. If we don't take care of them, there's no way. Or if we don't help guide them, we're setting the example, there's no way that we're going to get them to be entrepreneurs. We're not going to get them to be directors like yourself here at SecureSet or wherever that may be, because we've got to make sure that we help these kids out.
If you had, for instance, your life skills student body sitting in our podcast audience today, and you were speaking specifically to information technology, cybersecurity, sort of the telecommunications industry, what things would you tell them they need to start doing right now in order to succeed technically in this business area?
Keep an open mind,
okay.
For starters. With that, stick to the books. Math sucks, okay? But at least understand your numbers somewhat. Other pieces to it is your core discipline. Core disciplines and being able to follow directions. And when you're troubleshooting, especially in the world that I'm in, we design things, we build things, but when you get into troubleshooting, people give up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They walk away from it. But you can't give up. And if I'm talking directly to the life skills kids, or any kid for that matter, you never give up. You start at A and step it out till you get to the last point. And once you get to the end, which may be Z or whatever that is, mm-hmm. you've accomplished the task.
Excellent. In terms of the technological industry, what do you think, or where do you see us maybe in 5 years, technology-wise? What are going to be some of the big changes you would foresee based on your experience?
When I thought about this, I went back and I spoke about The Wire here a moment ago. Well, if you recall, we had all these different parts and pieces all over the place, right? And we still have them to some extent. But a side note, I got to know more about wiring than what I wanted to know. Hmm. Meaning that we were able to put 7 different medias on the same cable.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know where I'm going with this. And what happened then is that what I saw at that moment in time is that, wait a minute, I got to deliver, and some of it was on coax, thin net, category 3 wire, for lack of a better term at that time, because they really mm-hmm. didn't have any categories
yeah.
at the time.
Yep.
And before you know it, you had all this stuff that everybody needed at the desk. Well, then that wire came along, and I started to work with what was called, I don't know if you remember, the IBM Type 1 and 2 cable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what these guys started, the guys were pretty smart about it, but they still didn't have the next step involved. That goes back to the A to Z piece, okay? Stepping things out, meaning that they would take the voice pairs, once it got into a comm room, they take the voice pairs out, split it out, and put it on one rack, and then take the foamed Halar pairs and whatever they had, and they'd connect them on another rack. And boy, that was a pain.
Sure.
So I said, you know what? This ain't gonna fly. So when we started working, this was MCI days, I started to see that, wait a minute, it's got to integrate. So we got it across the wire. So we were able to take by doing shielded twisted pairs, unshielded twisted pairs, all these parts and pieces. And then we took all of the coax and we converted it with balins. A gentleman by the name of Harvey White told me this one day. He says, Gene, this is the future. And he showed me this balin. And I said, what the heck is that? So anyway, long story short, now we went from that MCNC 1 through 5, which later became down the road categories 1 through 5, believe it or not. So yeah. I pioneered that piece of it.
Wow.
And then from there, what came out of it is now we begin that slow process of integration. Now, where I see it going is that we should be doing everything, not off of a phone and not just off a computer. Everything should be consolidated. We're almost there.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Mm-hmm. Meaning that you can take your laptop with you, and then you should be able to place a phone call. I mean, today we're doing it to some extent, but you're doing it in the enterprise arena.
Yeah.
You know, you can take through communicator or what unified messaging or whatever. You can be on the phone, on your cell phone, get to your office, boom, there it is.
It's right.
Now you can transfer it over to the phone at your desk or at your laptop or wherever it is. But see, where I see it 5 years from now, we're going to be way behind the curve if we don't get ahead of it right now. And
sure.
That's integrating the parts and pieces to where we're using one component. The cell phone is kind of there, but it's not there.
Yeah.
Business-wise, I mean, there's still going to be some segregated parts and pieces within the business office arena, but a lot of it now needs to come together. So what I see 5 years from now is hopefully finally now the core true form of integration.
You know, as we've clearly heard, Gene, you are an innovator. You're an inspirational leader. You're a barrier breaker and a technologist. And it sounds like clearly one key is that you have not kept your success to yourself. You've poured that back into others. Both in your own community, in the community at large, in the lives of students, certainly probably into the lives of your clients and your colleagues. And I'm proud to know you and call you a colleague and friend now. I just thank you for what you've given and what you continue to give. And we also thank you for your time here on the broadcast. And so before we go, I wanted to just thank you in that way.
Well, thank you.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been with Mr. Gene Sanchez, the president and owner of Zeknis, which if you look at it backwards, you might figure out where the name of his company comes from. I'm Abe Thompson with the New Cyber Frontier.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.